for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, friends, and thank you for joining us today. I'm John Lawrence, your host. I wanted to share with you some of the good news of what is happening in Jewish missions in Mexico today. I was privileged to travel to Mexico a short time ago to conduct a missionary candidate school for quite a number of missionary candidates who are seeking to go into Jewish missions in many places around the world. Mexico has been evangelized, of course, by American missionaries for a very long time, for many decades, actually. And there are now national pastors and some very large independent Baptist churches there in Mexico. Our meetings were held at the Bible Baptist Church in San Luis Potosí, which is located in central part of the country. And, you know, it's easy to see that there is something very special taking place there. There is a real work of the Holy Spirit in revival, and you also sense a very clear urgency about the gospel. Many are being saved, brought into the churches, and discipled. It's a very exciting time in that country. But beyond that, in recent years, Mexico has become a missionary-sending nation. The churches are sending out Mexican missionaries to various parts of the world in considerable number now. Even more amazing is the widespread interest in Jewish missions. Our Hispanic Ministries director, who labored for many years there, Brother Roy Lowe, and his wife Charlotte, have been very instrumental in challenging the churches all over Latin America for Jewish missions. But the fruit of their endeavors has been most evident in Mexico. There is now a Mexican national who is our Spanish ministries director for both Mexico and Central America. He has been able to grow the work even further during the last 2 years. Consequently, we found ourselves with at least 13 missionary candidates for these training sessions that we did just a few weeks ago. As we interviewed them after the meetings, their passion for the ministry and their passion also for reaching Jewish people was almost palpable. They have all graduated from very sound Mexican Bible schools and colleges. They're enthusiastic, and it is also a blessing to know that the largest portion of support for these missionaries going out come from Mexican churches. We already have 8 families serving with our mission from down there, and now it looks like we are going to have many new families perhaps coming on board. It's a wonderful thing that the Mexican churches are taking responsibility to support these missionaries along with some Spanish churches here in the United States. Sacrificial commitments are being made among the Christians in the churches down there. By and large, it's a relatively poor population, but they are willing to give in order to support their own missionaries to get to various mission fields around the world. Those interviewed desire to go to some very diverse fields, places like Panama, Argentina, even Cuba, and then France, Hungary, Thailand, and several want to go to Israel, to name just a few. We talked with some very sharp young families who are very well prepared for the task of missions, and they have a high degree of consecration to take the gospel to a lost and dying world, to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. We will talk more about these amazing events in Mexico again in our next program. Meanwhile, would you pray for these candidates? I can't give you all the names, but the Lord knows who they are. Pray that the Lord will bless them and prosper their desire to serve Him, and that He will also provide for their needs. These are some exciting people wanting to do great things for the Lord in the work of Jewish missions. Now let's tune in to our Bible study today with Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman.
Thank you for listening to our radio Bible studies. With this lesson, we will examine the role of judges in the Bible. God ordained for judges to rule over Israel. A judge made legal determinations which would bind the parties who brought him these legal disputes. Moses functioned as the first judge of Israel. On one occasion, his father-in-law Jethro asked him why he, Moses, personally handled all of the cases that the Jewish people presented him. Moses replied, quote, "The people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws, unquote. Note that this scene took place before God gave the Mosaic Law to the Jews at Mount Sinai. Jethro gave his son-in-law a recommendation, quote, "Thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them, to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." Unquote. Moses responded by choosing, quote, "able men out of all Israel," unquote. Moreover, he made them heads over the people, quote, "rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of 10," unquote. The narrative did not indicate that Moses ever asked God about his will in this matter. What was the significance of this arrangement? Out of every 1,000 Israelites, 130 of them would function as a ruler. Such an arrangement would comprise a sizable bureaucracy, more than 13% of the population. Moreover, quote, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, unquote. Such people would lead a revolt against Moses and Aaron, as recorded in Numbers chapter 16. Some of those rebels might have come from the ruling class that Moses had set up in the book of Exodus. Under the Mosaic Law, God assigned judges a number of duties. If a slave wanted to remain an indentured servant for the remainder of his life, according to Exodus chapter 21, God instructed that, quote, "his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever," unquote. Judges also handled cases involving theft, as noted in Exodus 22. When the Israelites worshiped Moabite deities, an incident recorded in Numbers chapter 25, Moses commanded the judges to kill every single Jew that engaged in that activity. In the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, God commanded the Israelites, quote, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment," unquote. In the 25th chapter of Deuteronomy, God described how that process ought to work. Quote, "If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked," unquote. Judges thus needed to rule on each case brought before them impartially and judge righteously. Sometimes, though, a judge would act unrighteously. The author of Psalm 82 addressed several admonitions to such adjudicators. Quote, "How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked," unquote. "And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge should lie down, cause him to lie down, and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number." Such a punishment prescribed in the Mosaic Law might allude to occasions when, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul had received 40 stripes save one from the Jews. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, God instructed judges about what they should do when a person gave false testimony before them. Quote, "If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you," unquote. Such a provision would tend to discourage people from making false statements in legal matters. After the Israelites crossed into Canaan, judges continued to play important roles as Jewish leaders. Judges joined the elders and officers of Israel in Joshua chapter 8 in pronouncing blessings and curses upon the Jewish people. Along with the elders of Israel, Joshua summoned the judges to witness his final charge to the Israelites, as recorded in the 24th chapter of Joshua. During the interval between the death of Joshua and the anointing of the first Israelite king, God ordained judges to lead the Jewish nation. According to the second chapter of the book of Judges, quote, "The Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them," unquote. The author of that narrative added that, quote, "When the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them," unquote. God would work through that individual judge to deliver the Israelites from the foreign oppression. After that judge died, though, the Israelites would again corrupt themselves. That cycle of oppression, repentance, deliverance, and apostasy repeated itself several times during the period of the judges. These judges did not hold sway over all of the Israelite tribes simultaneously during the same periods of time. For example, Jephthah and Samson flourished around the end of the 12th century B.C. The 11th chapter of Judges described how Jephthah defeated the Ammonites in the eastern part of the Promised Land. The 13th through 16th chapters of Judges talked about Samson's victory over the Philistines in the western part of Israel. Note that neither of these men were paragons of virtue. Jephthah may have sacrificed his own daughter as a burnt offering that he had vowed unto God. Samson's inability to control his sexual appetites led to his ultimate downfall. Other judges likewise had moral failings. According to the 8th chapter of the book of Judges, Gideon made a golden ephod and, quote, "all Israel went thither a-whoring after it," unquote. Abimelech, one of Gideon's many sons, attained leadership over Israel by killing 70 of his partial brothers. Nonetheless, those judges demonstrated their commitment to God. When the Israelites asked Gideon to rule over them, an incident recorded in the 8th chapter of Judges, Gideon replied, quote, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you," unquote. Along with Samson and Jephthah, the name of Gideon appeared in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the heroes of faith. Samuel served as the final judge of Israel. Though he lived in the city of Ramah, he traveled to Gilgal, Bethel, and Mizpah in order to judge the Israelites. For the duration of his ministry, Samuel judged the Israelites in righteousness. In his farewell speech to the Jewish people, he declared, quote, "Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you," unquote. His audience replied, quote, "Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught out of any man's hand," unquote. Samuel executed his duties as judge faithfully, working in the fear of the Lord. No man could convict him of having judged them unjustly. Therefore, Samuel stood as an example of the type of individual God wanted Israel to have as a judge. In our next session, we will consider the role played by kings in the Bible. We invite you to join us for that radio broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.